Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll read the first six verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fact that you are the truth and the way that we get to heaven. Father, many of our folks have already preceded us. Father, please help our preacher today fill him with your power. May we be filled with your power as we listen. Give us what we need so we could go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Earlier, you read together with Brother Bush from the passage of Scripture called John 14. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, that because it is often used when we're discussing someone's homegoing. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he is soon to go to heaven. He is approaching death himself, and he begins to make some statements to the disciples. He says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." Boy, do I like those words. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said to them, believe. You believe in God, believe also in me. He was preparing them to believe in something. What was he about to prepare them to believe in? A place called heaven. He said, now let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I want you to believe because in heaven there are many mansions. Not just rooms that we board in, but mansions in heaven. Can you picture Jesus? These disciples are sitting around him. He's preparing their hearts because he soon will go to heaven, and he's trying to talk to them and prepare them for his home going. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, and if I go, I'm going to make sure that you wind up where I'm at. And I know for a fact that must have comforted their hearts. I have been the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for 3 years and 2 months. Tomorrow, I will conduct my 25th homegoing service in 38 months. Another funeral. I only but wish you knew what's in my heart today. The other day, not many days ago, I was conducting a homegoing service. I walked by and one of our senior citizens was sitting there, and I patted them on the arm and I said, how are you? And this is what she said. She said, oh, just sitting here wondering who will be next. And boy, I'm a 45-year-old man. I do not probably spend as much time wondering that as those that are my seniors. She said, just wondering who will be next. Well, I don't know who will be next. You don't know who will be next. It could be some seasoned veteran with a full head of gray hair, or it may be a very young person.
death is not a respecter of age. But there is something that I can tell you today. I can tell you that there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more tears to dim the eye. You know what's going to happen? There's coming a day when we won't have to worry about who's next anymore. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Because you see, this world's not my home. This world's not my home. The song is, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know, I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Seems like the more that we love that reach the other shore, the less we feel at home on this side. The last verse of that song. Well, the second verse says, they're all expecting me. And that's one thing I know. The last verse says, just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. I wonder sometimes if the day that Jesus was explaining John 14 or telling them about heaven, I wonder if they didn't sing a little bit about heaven. There's a song that means a lot to me. It's called Heaven for Me. The words are, I've heard of a land that is wondrously fair. They say that its splendor is far beyond compare. In that place that's called heaven, my soul longs to be. For where Jesus is, it will be heaven for me. Heaven for me. Heaven for me. Where Jesus is, it will be heaven for me. All its beauties and wonders I'm longing to see, but where Jesus is, it will be heaven for me. There is a heaven. It's a real place. See, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by. I wonder what's going to happen. We're going to see Skippy. We're going to see Ralph. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. It is almost odd that in 38 months we could lay to rest 25 of God's saints. It's odd. But I just want everyone to know, I have good news for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He went to prepare a place for us. And where He is, there we shall be also. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. I would like to, if I could today, strengthen your faith a little bit in regard to heaven. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when our faith becomes sight. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Heaven is beyond our heart and our mind's imagination. The Bible says here, you can't even fathom how wonderful heaven is. You dream your wildest dream of a place of bliss, and it won't even compare to what heaven is going to be like. See, our faith someday will be sight. Brother Skippy Burris went to be with the Lord this week, and may his faith became sight. His faith, I mean, Skippy opened up his eyes and he said, "Wow, it's better than I ever imagined. It's better than I ever dreamed." One day, folks, our faith will become sight. Now, see, down here, we're not as spiritual as what we ought to be. We don't think as spiritually as what we should. We're down here struggling on this old globe made of earth and clay. And we don't have really the faith we ought to have. But I'm going to tell you something. You are going to be amazed, knocked off your feet when you open your eyes in glory. You're going to say, "I had a hard time believing in this place. But what faith I had has become miraculous sight. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, "Whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith." Hey, you want to know something? You put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the end of your faith is you are going to get what you bargained for. You said, "I trusted Him. I believed in Him. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Somebody told me there was a heaven. Somebody told me there was a hell. I had to trust Christ by faith. I believed in heaven by faith." I will guarantee you 100% the Christ you trusted prepared the place that He predicted there's a heaven, and one day that feeble little faith that we try to practice and believe he's up there, and it is up there, and your faith, my faith, will become sight. We won't just talk about it anymore. Those of you that share the gospel, we won't have to work hard to muster up the confidence to say, "Now he's up there," even in our own little feeble attempt. We will open our eyes, we will be there, and that we believe by faith will become reality. And it's better than you can imagine. The end of your faith will be heaven. You know, all those things that for years we believed by faith, we'll see them with our own eyes. We won't just hear someone talk about golden streets. You will walk right over to them. Hey, you won't even need your glasses. You'll walk right over to them and you'll look. You'll get down on your knees and you'll do this. That's gold.
Yeah.
That's better than that 10-carat coated junk my husband gave me as a wedding ring. That's gold. You'll see it. We will, with our eyes, see the golden streets. With our eyes, that we had faith in will become reality. We'll see the gates of pearl, real pearl, not plastic, real pearl, the best pearls. We'll see the angels, for real.
Right.
We'll see the throne of God.
Yes.
We will see the place that God sets. You're going to see it. Our faith will become sight. I was thinking about this. We have a gentleman in our church that will play a trumpet solo every once in a while. I know Brother Bush plays a trumpet. You know something? I think there are some people that play brass instruments. When they get there, they're going to go over and they're going to see with their eyes the trump of God that was used for the rapture.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible says the trump of God shall sound. God's got His own trumpet.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He keeps it in his room. He shines that baby up and he's getting ready to play something that's going to change the course of the whole human race. And you'll be able to go in and say, let me see that trumpet. You'll be able to play that, Brother Bush, if you're there. You get to see the river of life with your eyes. We talk about it. Let's face it, we work at believing it, but you'll get to see it. Your faith will become sight. You'll see the tree of life. There will be no leaves to rake off the tree of life. The mansions there, not rooms where you hang out. The mansions there. Elvis, the king, he had the Graceland mansion. Oh, wow. What spectacular. Look, Elvis's mansion will be the slums compared to the mansions you'll have. Donald Trump, where he lives, he'll be on the wrong side of the tracks in heaven.
Yes, sir.
In heaven, you'll, those of you that love God and were faithful to God, you'll have a mansion. I can't wait. There's a story in the Old Testament about Elisha, and he was surrounded in a city called Dothan with one of his servants. The Bible says the servant kind of panicked when Elisha and the servant realized that they were surrounded by the enemy, and God came along and opened the eyes of this servant of Elisha, and when the servant looked in the sky, he could see chariots of fire running around in the sky, and that was God's watch care, these chariots of fire over Elisha and this servant. You know something? I can't wait to see those chariots. They're there. I'm going to go down to the, and there's not, it's not like used cars. All the chariots there are new. They have no miles on them. They don't need the oil change. And we'll be able to go see these shiny new chariots. You men like to go car hunting? I mean, I like to just go look at cars. But when we get to heaven, you're going to be amazed at how fancy their chariots are. Just amazing. You'll see it. We will see it. Heaven is a real place, and our faith will become sight. What a day. What a day that will be when we get to see it. Heaven's real. What a day that will be when we meet the heroes of the faith. What a day. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's a great cloud of witnesses, and they're watching from heaven. We're going to know each other in heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. We're going to know each other in heaven. Notice, we're going to know one another when we get to heaven, and I can't wait to get there. What a day that will be. I'm going to get to meet the heroes of the faith. I'm going to meet Noah.
Right.
I am going to meet Noah. I'm going to get to see the blueprint of the ark. I'll say, you got that blueprint here? I like to see that. I'll say, Noah, how did you tell your wife about the ark and the flood? I'll be able to say, I got a question for him. I want to know who cleaned up after the elephants. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to have all eternity. I'm going to be with the saints of yesteryear and the heroes of the faith. And I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him, how long did they only have two rabbits? I'm going to ask that thing, get out of hand. I don't want to ask, was there even a small leak? I mean, like, you know, were you walking your rounds with all the animals and your wife and kids were somewhere else and you looked at a little leak and said, boy, we may be in trouble here. I mean, I won't ask him if he had duct tape on the ark, you know, to fix what was broken. Hey, when we get to heaven, what a day that will be, you will meet Noah. The Noah that built the ark, he's there. It's a real place. When we get to heaven, I'm going to meet Jonah. You're going to meet him. I'm going to ask him, what was it like in the whale's belly? I'm going to ask him, was it stinky in there? I mean, if there were a bunch of half-digested food, or all the way digested food, boy, was it dark down in the whale's belly? Was it sticky? I mean, like, did you have sticky stuff all over you? I'll ask him, what's it feel like to be barfed up by a whale?
I don't know of anybody else in history who's been barked up by a whale. I mean, Jonah holds the record. I'm going to talk to him. And you'll get to talk to him. I'm going to meet Daniel. Oh, what a hero. The great Daniel. The story about Daniel. So many stories. How about the lion's den? I want to find out, Daniel, were you afraid? Was it scary? Well, how did it go? Did you try to talk to the lions? Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be doing something with them lions. I'd be like saying, hey, man, you know, I hope you're not hungry. If I get to move around here and get on your turf, you let me know. I'll stay right here in this corner. Don't bite me. I taste rotten. So, you know, I spread garlic all over my body this morning. You won't like it. I'm going to ask Daniel, was there kitty litter in the lion's den? I have some questions I want to ask. You realize we're going to see them. What a day that will be. You'll meet Noah. You'll meet Jonah. You'll meet Daniel. We'll meet those three Hebrew children, as we call them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how a wicked king said, either you bow to me and deny God, or I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. And the soldiers grabbed them. They said, we will not bow to you. We will stand, and we will stand for God. And the soldiers grabbed those three young men and threw them into a fire. The fire was so hot, the soldiers were consumed by the fire just by getting close to it. Now there's three young men in there walking around, and the king looks in, and he says, look at that. Did we not throw three people in? Somebody said, yeah, we threw three in. King said, it looks to me like there's four in there. And the fourth is likened unto the Son of Man. There's four in there. God was in there with them.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm going to say, how was that? I mean, was it eerie? I can picture, Shadrach saying, you should have seen the look on that king's face when he looked in and Jesus was in there with us. I'd give a dollar to have that picture. Hey, I can picture them saying, we almost thought we were coming to heaven that day. But God spared us. We're going to meet them. I'm going to meet the Apostle Paul. Hey, I'm going to ask him, I'll say, Paul, how do you feel about the stoning of Stephen now that you look back on it? And he'll probably say, hey, Stephen, come here. Paul and Stephen, arm in arm. You guys, tell me the story. I can hear Stephen now. I mean, here's Stephen. Paul standing beside him and said, this guy right here, let him throw at me. Thought he was hurting me. I just came on to glory before him. You had to wait down there, didn't you, Paul? Shipwreck and all that junk. I come on up to heaven. Thanks for getting me here early. We'll get a chance to talk to him. I'll ask Paul, how does it feel that God felt somehow he could use you to pen 12, maybe 13 books of the New Testament? I'm going to meet Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. I think I'll say, Mary, tell me. Tell me, how did it feel to know that you were carrying the Christ child? Did it scare you? Did you realize the bigness of the event? Do you realize how that virgin birth would change all mankind? How did you tell your friends? Well, you know she had to do some talking. Did she have a slumber party? Say, Garfield, you're such a guy. You're not going to believe this. And they said, oh, get out. Not really. Shut up. Oh, really? I'm going to meet Peter. What a day that will be. I'll get to meet the Apostle Peter. He was a part of Jesus' inner circle. I'll be able to talk to him about it. I'll be able to talk to him about the day that he pulled out a sword and whacked off that guy's ear. And I'll say, how did it go? He'll be able to tell me how Jesus picked that guy's ear up and put it back on. I can hear Peter now. He said, really, what I wish if Jesus would have put it on upside down or something. I wish he would have healed him upside down, you know. I'll say, Peter, what was it like preaching at the day of Pentecost? And Peter will say, I cannot believe that God allowed me to do that after I disappointed him so. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when our faith becomes sight. What a day that will be when we get to meet the heroes of the faith. What a day that will be when we get to see our loved ones who have gone on before. Moses, the Bible teaches, passed away and was buried by God's angels. Listen, Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. No man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day." God actually is the one that performed the burial of Moses. Now Moses is buried. He's gone. Many, many hundreds of years later, the Bible teaches that Moses appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and Jesus to the disciples. It says in Mark 9:4, "And there appeared unto them Elias," which is Elijah, "and Moses," and they were talking with Jesus. You know what that means? That means Moses was recognizable. They knew that was Moses. And listen, when we get to heaven, you're going to know your loved ones. You're going to recognize them. I'll see my grandpa Halberstadt, my grandma Virginia, my grandma Rittenhouse. Mrs. Owens and I, our very first child, we lost. And so we have four living children. Well, actually, we have five living children. One that's already in eternal life, living in heaven. But we'll get to see that child. Every baby that's ever been lost in miscarriage, we might have lost it from this life, but we lost it to a better life. Every one of those were lives, and they're in heaven. Every lady here, if you've ever lost a child before it got to leave your body, it's in heaven. Heaven's full. What a wonderful thing. We're going to see our loved ones. Your husband. You say, "Brother Owens, I've lost my husband." Mo Payton, you'll see Bill. Mrs. Oshman, you'll see your husband, Ralph. May, that's where Skippy's at right now. You will see him again. You've lost your wife. I was thinking of Brother Gordon Taylor. You'll see your wife again. Maybe you've lost your father. Maybe you've lost your mother. You'll see him again someday. You'll see your son again someday. I was thinking of Mrs. Shannaberger up here. You'll see him again. You say, "Brother Owens, why is it we have this time where we're apart?" I do not understand that, but I tell you this. God knew that it would be hard on us. So he makes us promises. He makes us promises. Your special friend, who have you lost? Let me tell you, you'll see him again someday. Trusting Jesus Christ gives us a place in heaven, and one day our faith will become sight. We'll see the heroes of the faith that have helped us to believe there's a heaven. But not only that, we'll see those that were the heroes in our lives and those that were our loved ones and the ones that we were close to. I was thinking of Brother Tom Williamson. Brother Tom, you'll see your mom again someday. Tina, you'll see your brother Tony again someday. You'll see him. You'll see your brothers, you'll see your sisters, those children that passed on. You'll see them again someday. See, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. We're going to have our faith become sight. We'll meet the heroes of the faith. We'll see again those that we love. And what a day that will be. Because when we go to heaven, it will be a day of rest. In Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You know, some of you younger people will have a difficult time understanding what I'm about to say. Some of you that have been on this earth a little longer will recognize and agree, life wears you out. Wears you out. And I respect those of you who have lived life a long time. Admire you. When I look at you, I often see that life has made you tired. Could I give you some good news? Your rest is coming. Your rest is coming. I look back and seeing Jody and David back here this morning. I remember, Jody, your dad and I were talking before I came here to take the pastorate. I looked into his eyes. Boy, what a hard-working man. He's toiled all of his life. He said this to me. He said, "Brother Owens, I'm so tired. I'm so tired." Oh, still working for the Lord. Oh, but how tired life can make us. Are you weary? Are you weary from illness? Mrs. Lowther, your rest will come. This life is but a short life. Her dear husband, Jerry, struggles with his health just constantly. And again this week, struggling with his heart. And such a young man. And by the way, so you know, his wife and children, they must face that too. Oh, but let me tell you something, Janice. Your rest is coming. There is a heaven. And you probably sometimes wish to yourself, "Glowins, I just wish I could get the amount of sleep that it would take to make me feel whole again." You'll get it. Someday you will rest and you'll not be tired anymore. Our dear Ray Montgomery lies in the hospital up in Hagerstown. I was there late last night. He's a sick man. He's a very sick man. Honestly, barring a miracle from God, Ray may beat us to heaven. He's tired. And Carol Jean's tired. And she'll hear this tape. And I hope she'll be encouraged, you know. There's rest. There's rest coming, saint of God. This world wearies us. And some of you have lived long, hard lives, and you say, "Brother Owens, my body aches, and I'm tired, and my mind is weary, and my emotions are wore out." Oh, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. You're going to look upon His face. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have the rest that your body and your mind and your heart and your life so desires. Weary senior citizen, rest is on its way. Those of you that are weary from life's disappointments, isn't it amazing how life can just knock the energy out of us? Isn't it amazing we're living along and suddenly the heartache hits us and before you know it, you just feel like I'm drained of all my energy. Where would I get the strength to go on? And we wonder, how can I get up tomorrow morning and face life again? Life and life's disappointments drain us of our energy. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. The clouds will be removed from the sky. The tears will be dried from your eye. There's coming that day. And you know, God said, "Let me make it so you can understand it. When you get to heaven, you're going to have the energy that you've always wanted to have. And the rest will be made available." Amen. To that army of ladies who life has not turned out quite the way that you wanted it to. And you're rearing your kids by yourself. And you say, "I'm so tired. I'm so tired being mom and dad. I'm weary." Well, keep your chin up, mama. Keep your chin up. It's going to be worth it all. Your faith will become sight. When you'll step on those golden shores someday, you'll suddenly say, "I made it. It's okay. I feel good again." We took the young people up to the Pittsburgh area. I left very, very early in the morning and drove up and preached, and churches from everywhere came, and oh, we had a great day, and God worked, and I think in a powerful way in our services. And then I headed back, and on my way back, before I even left, the phone rang, And on the other end of the line, the words came that Brother Ray Montgomery is in bad shape. And I pushed off early and I left and I raced from Pittsburgh to the hospital. I got there and I prayed and I asked God to spare his life. And then I spent some time with Carol Jean and Steve Knight and Pam were there. And I thanked God that they were there to help them. And some of the staff men had been there earlier. I glanced down at my watch and I thought, oh my, I need to get to the funeral home to be with May. And so I jumped in my car and I said, Mrs. Montgomery, I need to get to the funeral home. And then my phone rang and they told me that Brother Jerry Lowther was not well and possibly on way to the hospital. About 18 hours after I got up yesterday morning, I laid my head on my pillow and I thought, Lord, I'll be glad when we get out of this mess down here. Tomorrow morning I'm going to tell the people about heaven, and I'll be glad that there's coming a day when we're going to rest. There's coming a day. Now, I'm going to be careful not to rest too much now, because I'm going to get plenty of rest later. Right now, I want to help people. I want to strengthen people and encourage people. And I want to get to the funeral home and remind May that I love her and be with the Montgomery family and pray and ask God to strengthen my dear friend Jerry Lowther. But folks, I've got good news for you. There's coming a day. And what a day that will be. The rest is coming. What a day that will be. What a day when we get out of this sin-cursed world. I don't know about you, but I work. I enjoy my life because of the watch care of God. I enjoy my life in the church. I enjoy the working of God. But what goes on outside this place disgusts me. If you feel comfortable in this world, there's something wrong with you. This world, you ought to be able to sing, "This world is not my home." And I don't mean you just sing it because you like the song. It ought to be a testimony. How could anyone that's right with God enjoy what goes on in this life? How could you get caught up in it and live your lifestyle like that? I don't know, but I'll tell you, what a day that will be. We're going to get out of this mess. There's coming a day when we're going to go to heaven. It may be that through death, I don't know. It may be that the Lord will come again and snatch us out of this mess, but there's coming that day. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now, you can be forgiven of all that and go to heaven. But you know what God's telling us? You're not going to have to deal with that in heaven. No abortion in heaven. But there will be a whole lot of aborted little babies up there that got to have the lights that they deserved. No murder in heaven. No pain of divorce in heaven. No rape in heaven. No incest in heaven. No drunk driving accidents in heaven. No prisons in heaven. No war. No sodomy. No abandoned children. Nobody will have to be raised in an orphanage in heaven. My daddy spent time growing up in an orphanage. My dad gets my tapes. So may I say to my dad, "Dad, it'll be good in heaven. I have to worry about an orphanage in heaven. No growing old because of the curse of sin. We'll all have the blessing of life and youth. There'll be no nursing homes." You know, I thank God that there's a place where people can receive care, but I'm going to be real honest with you. Nursing homes are very hard on me. You know what I want to do, Brother Gil, when I go to a nursing home? I want to go bring everybody there home with me. I just feel like we'll sleep some on the couch and we'll get some sleeping bags and I'd be willing to feed them and die for them. I just wish I could take them all home with me, Brother Aaron. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father is going to take them home. Those that have trusted Christ one day, they'll not be in that nursing home anymore. heaven. We'll get out of this mess. Oh, what a day it will be when I get out of this mess and this life that has so much evil in it. There'll be no Muslim to threaten our safety. And I'm not a pacifist about those that are out to destroy our country. There'll be no rebellion. There'll be no pornography. There'll be no liquor in heaven, no drugs in heaven. Those of you that have been hurt by the drugs in years gone by and the liquor in years gone by and people with evil minds, hey, when we get to heaven, that's all gone. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, I can't wait. Hey, what a day that will be when we won't sin anymore. This is what I'm about to say to you is my second most favorite thing about heaven. Paul hated the sins that he committed in his body. Paul said this in Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I want to get out of this mess. I'm trapped in this flesh and I'm not happy. He also answers, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you know, Paul got disgusted with himself, disappointed in himself. And I'm going to be real honest. One of my favorite things about the thought of going to heaven is that I won't let God down anymore. I get so tired of needing to confess. I hope you're that way. I hate to disappoint Him. You know, let me tell you why. I feel like God constantly faces the pain of His children misbehaving. You know what it feels like? Do the pain. Some of you, as your children get older, you'll begin to understand the depth of the pain. A child disappoints you, and oh, what a devastation it is to the heart of a mom. Or oh, what a devastation it is to the heart of a dad. And I have a Heavenly Father. And sometimes I just get to feeling like His kids, they just don't care. No, they don't care if they turn their back on Him. They don't care if they're unfaithful to Him. They don't care if they break His heart. They really don't care what their heavenly daddy wants. I decided a long time ago I'd kind of like it. So if maybe when God seen me come and He would say, I am so glad to be spending some time with you, son. I kind of feel like His heart is broken constantly by people that will just live their life in ignorance or in rejection to the Word of God. And I feel like God needs some kids that can snuggle up on His lap. And it's not always, I've done everything stupid under the sun to you, Father, I'm coming back. It's you know, 911, the urgency call, I need you again. No, it's climbing into His lap and Him saying, you've been doing good down there, boy. I'm so proud of you, and thanks for the comfort that you bring to me and the honor that you bring to me. And I've not accomplished that, but I'll tell you, I want to. I don't want Him to feel the hurt continually for my misbehavior, but He still feels it. But see, in heaven, I won't be able to sin against my Savior anymore. It's going to be, I don't know how any way to say it, forgive me, that's going to be so cool. I am not going to sin against Him anymore, and He deserves it. He does not deserve the way we live. He deserves better than that. And I'll strive for excellence while I can, but the day I step over the first time, I'll know. There'll be no more confession needed. And no more disappointment. You won't struggle with the depression that is suggested to you by the devil because of your misbehavior. Won't have that there. What a day. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my faith becomes sight. What a day that will be when I get to see the heroes of the faith. What a day that will be when we see our loved ones that have passed on. What a day that will be when we finally get the rest that our bodies, our spirits, and our souls so desperately long for. What a day that will be when we get out of this sin-cursed world. What a day that will be when we
will not sin against him anymore. And what a day that will be. Now, I told you not sinning against him was my separate favorite thing about heaven. Let me tell you what my favorite thing about heaven is. And what a day that will be. That's it. When my Jesus I shall see. I've been preaching about him almost 20,000 times. I've preached about him. I cannot wait. My face will become sight, and I will see Jesus Christ. Oh boy. I don't know about you. See, I have cold chills running up and down my spine right now. I will see God's Son. Now that's my favorite part about heaven. Oh, all its beauties and wonders I'm longing to see. But where Jesus is, that's what's going to make it heaven for me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, it says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's not a matter of I don't want to be with you down here. That's not it. It's a matter of I just want to be with him. And he happens to be up there. I wish I could arouse some of you out of your religious deadness and realize he's alive. He's real. There's a heaven. How can you live your life in ignorance and denial that he's there? Right. You're going to face him. The best thing about heaven to me, Jesus is there. I'll tell you what. If we go up in a crowd, if Jesus comes back before the end of this service, when we enter heaven's gates, you're going to see nothing but my dust. Somebody will say, where's the preacher going? Brother Bush, you let him know. I know where he's going. He's heading for the throne of God. He's going to see Jesus. I'm taking off. I'm going to butt in line. If there's a line, I'm saying, excuse me, man with a baby, excuse me. I'm shoving for the front. I want to be near him. Brother Nash, the one about whom you have sung. I think when Brother Nash gets to heaven, I think Jesus is going to say, Greg, come on up here, sing us a song. Brother Jimmy, I could picture the Lord saying, come and sing for us, Jimmy. The one we sung about. You're going to see him while you sing. But Paul, can you imagine? We'll sing about Calvary, looking at he who died on Calvary. Amen. We're going to see him. The one I've preached about. When it was popular. And when it was unpopular. Over and over again. I've preached about him in the jails. I've preached about him on street corners. And the missions for men and the homes for fallen women and youth conferences and married couples conferences and huge conferences and small conferences and little churches and big churches and crowds of one and crowds of 10,000. I'm going to see him about whom I have preached all these years. I'll see him who a missionary gives up his home country to go and tell the lost and heathen on a foreign land about. I'll see him to whom I have tried to give and be faithful in my tithe and offering. I'll see him to whom I have prayed. When I am not here on Saturdays, I don't get to attend the men's prayer meeting. I miss it desperately. But you know, when I get on my knees up there in that men's prayer meeting, I try to picture myself at the throne of God. But when I get to heaven, I will kneel at his feet. I will get up real close. Matter of fact, if I can place my hands upon his feet while I pray, I'm going to do it. Those who have invested your faith will become sight. Every soul, I think Brother Joe Cowling this morning, Brother Joe, every soul that you've won to Christ, you'll get to see the one to whom you won those souls. The one who left heaven and came down here on this earth and lived 33 and a half perfect, sinless years. He died for me. I'll see him. He was buried for me. I'll see him. He was resurrected for me. I'll see him. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. It's going to be peace forevermore on that beautiful, on the golden shore. And what a day, glorious day that will be. In John chapter 14, Jesus just said to the people, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to give you something worth believing in. Believe in God, believe also in me. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I picture those disciples, after Jesus talked to them, saying, what a day that will be. What a day. What a day that will be. I don't know who's next. But whoever is, what a day that will be. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you won't be there that day. You won't experience everything I just described. See, you must realize something. You are a sinner. There is a penalty for being a sinner. That penalty is dying and suffering death and hell for all eternity, separated from God. If you will realize, accept, and trust Jesus Christ, realize he died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, and you can't get yourself to heaven, realize you need to turn to him, ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, be your Savior, he then can save you, and what a day that will be for you. But if you're not born again, this is not for you. Oh, don't miss it. Why would you want to miss all of this? But you need to get born again. If you are born again, I wish maybe this morning you could just bask a little bit in the love of God. And I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. Your loved ones are over there enjoying it all, just waiting to meet us on the other shore. Dr. Tom Malone said, I know more people on the other side than I do on this side. My time's a-coming. And the ones on the other side are waiting in that real place. And one day, we'll meet them. We'll meet them. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.